In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Are you a doer or a dabbler in the kingdom of God? In many areas of life, being a dabbler is just fine. Perhaps you have a hobby to which you devote just some of your leisure time. Now, you know that if you're ever going to get anywhere at it, or if you're ever to accomplish anything or get to be good at it, well, you need to spend more time, be more disciplined, devote greater resources to it, but you don't. It's your hobby, not your life. You dabble in it, but you don't devote yourself to it. And that's fine with respect to some things, but not others. That kind of attitude won't get you very far on the job. It won't help you get through school. It won't work in marriage or the family. In these areas of life, you cannot dabble. You must do. Work hard. Devote yourself. Spend time. Use resources. If you want to be a good husband, a good father, if you want to be a successful student, a successful worker, you have to do, not dabble. And nowhere is this more important than in the Christian religion. The call of Christ is a summons to life, to service, to hard work, to dedication, to devotion, to suffering, to the cross. Part-time, occasional, nominal dabbling in religion just doesn't work. Religion is not a hobby, but life. Unfortunately, since at least the 18th century, if not before, the long-term trend in the West has been the secularization of life, the separation of religion from one area of human experience after another, separation of one's religion from politics, from science, from amusement, from education, from art, from work, and even today, from ethics, with the result that religion is almost entirely a private affair. People can work side by side for years and know all kinds of things about each other's personal lives, their hobbies, their families, their likes and their dislikes, and yet never discuss religion. In fact, if someone does persist in talking about his faith, well, you know, that's considered kind of bad form. Something less than good manners, maybe even impolite. Or if someone insists upon the relevance of religion to public life, well, they may be well subject to charges of bigotry, censorship, intolerance, and the like. Just recently, for example, and I mean very recently, last few years, a Lutheran high school was sued by a state government for violating civil rights statutes when it insisted upon disciplining its students, male and female, for engaging in fornication that led to pregnancy. Now, the high school did win the suit, but just think about it. A religious institution, a private school, was subject to the hostility of the state on account of its attempts to put Christianity into practice among its students. Now, this is what we have come to in relegating Christianity to the private sphere. No wonder, then, that we are dabblers in religion instead of doers. And please notice that I say we advisedly. For you might think that here at the seminary, certainly we can escape the charge of not taking our faith seriously. Since after all, it's not just our hobby. It's not a sometime thing. It's not a once-a-week Sunday morning phenomenon. But in actuality, it's our work, our full-time activity, our livelihood. But is it our life? You see, we cannot escape the charge of treating our faith lightly, no matter how much time we put into mastering it, studying it, teaching it, as long as we do not live it. Now, here at the seminary, it's rather easy to kid ourselves since we're so very much wrapped up in theology in the church, we study our Bibles, we learn our doctrine, we hone our pastoral skills, we're concerned about the affairs of the church. But is all of this time and energy anything more than intensive dabbling in religion? Are we anything other than Christian dilettantes? Now, this morning's scripture reading prompts such questioning because it reminds us of the enormous demands that God places upon us Christians in how we live. Not just in what we say with our lips, not just in how much doctrine we know, but actually how we live. The apostle tells us that there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality among us. Not a hint, not a word, no foolish talking, no joking, nothing. And covetousness or greed, well, he calls that idolatry. And he says that anyone who is guilty of such things, anyone, has no inheritance in the kingdom of God, but instead is subject to the wrath of God. Now, I think that it's a sign of our dabbling in Christianity, in spite of the time that we put in here at the seminary, that these words do not cause us to shake in our boots. Instead, we're just more likely to scoot around them, let them go in one ear and out the other, or at best, we'll apply them to somebody else, not ourselves. But in point of fact, Paul says them to us. That's to you and to me. He warns us that our behavior, our words, our desires render us unworthy of the kingdom. And you know as well as I that the Bible is filled with passages like this. The Word of God insists that we make Christianity the essence of our lives, and that it shape our thoughts, our words, and deeds right now, and not just hereafter in eternity. A Christianity that is relegated to just a part of life is no Christianity at all, whether we reduce it to a Sunday morning service or to an academic exercise in pursuit of our livelihood. If it isn't everything, it isn't anything. And we really are kidding ourselves if we think that dabbling at the Christian faith is good enough for God instead of doing it. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But now Paul also says, be followers of God, be imitators of him, be like him as children are like their father. And that's important because God didn't dabble when it came to saving mankind. He actually did it. Recall the words of our hymn this morning that describe God's work to save us. You came into our hall of death, O Christ, to breathe our poisoned air, to drink for us the deep despair that strangled our reluctant breath. Our Lord's work for us was no part-time commitment, not an occasional activity, no superficial dealing. Instead, it was an extraordinary, incomprehensible, all-encompassing gift of love and sacrifice. Nothing else would do, nothing else was done. The second person of the Trinity, no less, became a true man, set aside the divine glory to live our life, to walk in our footsteps, to carry our burden, to die our death, all to save us. And that is precisely why Christianity cannot be a sometime thing for those who know and believe in Jesus. We cannot dabble when we know what our Lord has done. It's impossible. When we belong to him, we belong to him. In every part of life and being, he has made us and remade us. He has justified and now sanctifies us. Our lives are his. Walk in love, says the apostle, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God. Walk in love. Not a hobby, not a job, not a private affair. Don't dabble, but do. That's Christianity. Amen. And now the peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.